It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Bear River Lodge. 2 hours of stories and information on hunting, fishing, and high adventure. Our host is Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back. Hour number two and the final one for another week of KSL Outdoors Radio. As always, the time just flies by here. But it's nice to have you listening. Going to be reconnecting with the boys, Bob and Mark, here coming up in just a minute with their new website, which is utahguide.com. Utah Guides, Bob and Mark, Bob Grove, Mark Wade. Today, I just got an email a minute ago about the 10 things you could do in St. George, and they've got a lot of ideas back there, down there, I should say, not back there, but down there. Bob, of course, still lives in that area down in what he likes to call L.A. Virkin with all of the Los Angeles transplants that have come their way. Anyway, so that conversation. We'll also head to Sundance Resort. I'm really excited about being able to focus on Sundance. I still think it's one of the most beautiful mountains you could possibly not just ski on, but in the summertime, it's spectacular. And we just don't often get the chance to talk about it, but they went under new ownership a couple of years ago, and so I'm going to connect with Annie Condon, who sent me some information a few weeks ago, and hopefully talk to someone from the resort that's, my understanding, Annie was telling me anyway, has been with the resort for a long, long time. And then Roger Eggett from Bear River Lodge, as he usually does, will wrap things up for us. Bear River Lodge and Trax Power Sports, great sponsors of this program, and they have been blasted with snow recently, so if you've been putting off the opportunity to get up and do a little snowmobiling, I think that opportunity is now. And between now and, you know, when spring actually officially sets in, you've got sort of a short window to take advantage of the snow up there. So more on that also just ahead. Right now, though, I want to check in with John Luft. He is the Great Salt Lake Ecosystem Program Manager. John, I don't think you've been on the program before, so welcome. It's nice to have you.
I appreciate it. I don't think I've been on here either.
When Faith Jolly brought up the idea, she said we could talk about swans or we could talk about the brine shrimp at the Great Salt Lake. And I thought, I actually told her in a return email, I said, we don't often get the chance to talk about brine shrimp. We've done a lot of news reporting on concerns and conditions and water levels at the Great Salt Lake, but the brine shrimp somehow get left out of the conversation. Maybe a dumb question, but why should we worry about the brine shrimp?
Well, you know, it's funny because everybody said the same thing to me when I took on a job with the Division of Wildlife. You're going to be dealing with moose and cougar and stuff, but I deal with the tiniest thing, what a lot of people would consider insignificant, and that's the brine shrimp. But they're pretty interesting and unique part of Utah. So brine shrimp are food for almost everything. And here at Great Salt Lake, they're food for birds. So normally fish and even insects will eat brine shrimp, but it's too saline in Great Salt Lake for fish to survive. And it's too saline for insects like coryxids to survive. So it's that's where it serves as a food source for all the migratory birds that come through here.
Give our listeners an idea of how tiny these guys are.
Yeah, they're only about, as an adult, they're only about a third to a half an inch long. So really small. And then the cysts or the eggs that they have are basically like dust. You have to look at them under a microscope to even see it.
And you're actually at some points of the year, and I had no idea there's a brine shrimp season, really, that runs from October 1st through January 31st, so it just wrapped up. You're in the business sometimes of actually harvesting these teeny tiny eggs.
Yeah, so it's not the brine shrimp themselves that are harvested. It's the brine shrimp eggs. And the Division of Wildlife doesn't do the harvesting. There's actually companies that go on the lake and do all of the harvesting. We just monitor and police and manage that commercial brine shrimp fishery.
On average, or I guess an average, harvest season for the past decade has been an annual harvest of 25 to 35 million raw pounds of cysts. That's a lot.
Yeah, when you think that they're just kind of look like dust particles. And then we're talking in terms of 30 million pounds annually. That's a lot. So those little tiny things, you wouldn't think it would be easy to harvest those, but they basically coagulate and float to the surface when it's really calm. They form streaks, and it actually looks like oil slicks on the surface, only the oil slick is kind of a golden color, and they encircle it with oil containment boom, kind of constrict that boom, and then pump that into a semi-permeable sack onto the deck of the boat, and that's the way they harvest brine shrimp, sis.
Did you ever imagine you'd be doing this for a living?
Absolutely not. I'm originally from Kansas, so I didn't even know what a brine shrimp was. But it's basically what you would have seen back in the comic book days, the sea monkeys. So I guess I'm a glorified sea monkey biologist.
Well, you're darn good at it, I can tell. All right, so tell me the impact that the drought has had on the brine shrimp.
Yeah, so obviously the drought, for one, has reduced the overall volume of the lake. So that reduces the amount of habitat available for brine shrimp. But probably the more subtle and more important impact that it's had is the increased salinity due to the drought. So Great Salt Lake needs to be saline enough to keep fish and insects from surviving so they don't deplete the brine shrimp population. But it also has to be saline enough that the shrimp are not so saline that they're stressed and experience limited reproduction or survival. So you can kind of say they need to be in that happy medium or in that Goldilocks situation where it's just right for them.
Yeah. The Great Salt Lake, for anybody that's been out there, knows in parts and most of it really is not all that deep. It's very shallow. So I would imagine winter season in a drought could really be devastating.
Yeah, it's what I refer to. A lot of people look at Great Salt Lake as a big bathtub, but it's more a giant dinner plate because it's so shallow. It's probably on average right now 8 to 10 feet, and maybe at its deepest, it's only about 20 feet.
Yeah. What do they do with these cysts, these eggs, when they take them, these companies?
Yeah, so they dry those and to preserve them and put them in a can. And essentially what those the purpose that they serve is and probably 30 years ago, if you and I would go to all-you-can-eat shrimp buffet, that shrimp would have been caught out of the ocean. But now over half of the shrimp that people consume are grown in these aquaculture industries.
Yeah, farm-raised.
Yes, exactly. And so early in those the early life stages of the shrimp you and I would eat, they are in need of pursuing. They're a predator, so they need to pursue and catch their food. They put these brine shrimp cysts in the water. They hatch within a day or two and immediately become food for table shrimp that we would eat.
Wow. So for a guy like me that loves shrimp and it was a delicacy when I was growing up because my family never really could afford it, so now I order shrimp in just about everything I can eat, I need to be worried about the health of our brine shrimp. I never knew.
Yeah, absolutely. The odds are that you're indirectly consuming Great Salt Lake brine shrimp.
How about that? Here's the other thing. Is it, and we only have less than a minute here, is it an overstatement to say that a lot of our migrating birds would suffer if that something happened to the brine shrimp too?
Yeah, absolutely. So we get 10 to 12 million migratory birds that come through here. I can give you just an example of one that comes through here, the eared grebe. And typically, eared grebes get here in the fall, right during the brine shrimp season. And one eared grebe will eat 25,000 to 30,000 adult brine shrimp per day.
Wow. Oh.
Then, if you look at the numbers that we get, we've had as many as 5 million eared grebes at Great Salt Lake at one time, each consuming 25,000 to 30,000 brine shrimp per day. So I don't know how many zeros that is, but it's a lot, and I'll let you do the math on that.
Yeah, that is fascinating to me. I'm so glad we decided to talk about it today. John Luft, the Great Salt Lake Ecosystem Program Manager, some of the great people that are behind the scenes trying to keep this great ecosystem moving. John, thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Tim. I really appreciate it.
All right, we'll take a break. Bob and Mark back with me coming up next. Don't go away.